Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Happy Thanksgiving Eve. Chris Ketz from Channel 9 is in studio. We're going to play Ask Chris Anything coming up at 11:45. I have a poll question out there right now. You can vote on Twitter at KMBZ Radio. When will you first Christmas shop? On Thanksgiving, on Black Friday, Saturday or Sunday, or not at all this weekend? On Twitter.
I've already done some.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have done...
I'm not done, and...
Will you go out this weekend?
No. Probably not.
3% of our audience on Twitter will go out tomorrow. Really? On Thanksgiving.
Because the deals are out there?
Mm-hmm.
Because they and there are people out there who just, you know, it's the day after Thanksgiving and it's tradition and,
no, that's, tomorrow what they, and that's what they do. No, tomorrow on
Thanksgiving. Oh, on Thanksgiving.
3%
on tomorrow. I thought you were referring to Friday. Okay.
I mean, sure. We don't do anything on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, they have 3 Thanksgivings on his side of the family.
Right.
So I'll go up to Des Moines tonight.
Yep.
We'll be there. And then tomorrow... we might get a pizza. You know what I mean?
Well,
so if I were to go shopping on Thanksgiving, it wouldn't be like, oh, breaking from my family.
Right. In our family, Jason and his mom will be hitting the road later on today.
Heading up to
the Quad Cities.
Quad Cities,
which
okay.
is where my oldest son, his wife, and
the cutest grandkid ever.
It's the first grandchild for us.
Aw.
But on Beth's side, it's like grandchild 26. No, I'm not. This is grandchild 26
wow.
on the Duffy side okay. up in Davenport, Iowa.
They've had 28 and 29 cents.
Are you kidding me?
No, this is 26.
They just had number 35 seconds.
No. But so if everything goes as planned, like I say, Jason and his mom will go up this afternoon, tonight. Dana and I, weather permitting, will go up tomorrow. And there'll be Thanksgiving dinner with Jason, Jonathan, Beth Archer, Jason's mom, Dana and I, and my mom.
Very cool. Okay.
So that's the plan.
That, and as we know,
that's the plan.
Weather permitting,
yeah.
You know, that'll all wind up happening.
So we'll see, but we're keeping our fingers crossed for tomorrow. So.
We'll let you ask Chris anything coming up at 11:45 here on 98.1 KMBZ. What was it like interviewing, because you've interviewed very important people your entire career, 36 years at Channel 9, 40 in the industry, 41 in the industry in television news? Give or take some months in there?
Started at a 1,000-watt radio station in Moline, Illinois.
Beautiful.
And
Moline, Illinois.
In Moline, Illinois. And but a radio station that, you know, I was still in high school. I was a senior in high school when I got the job, reading weekend news. For those who don't know, my father did this for 35 years up the Quad Cities. He was an anchor up there. And my son Jonathan works at that television station, which is the ABC station up in the Quad Cities, WQAD. And so Jonathan's first job out of Mizzou, he walks into a building where the street in front of the station and the studio are named after his grandfather. So there's no pressure there
at all.
No pressure there whatsoever.
When did you switch from radio to TV?
After about 4 years of radio.
Smart.
And worked my way through St. Ambrose University, Davenport, Iowa, home of the Fighting Bees.
Look out. Then where was your next stop?
Here.
Really?
Yeah.
Even from the Quad Cities?
Yeah.
From Davenport?
I jumped all the way from the Quad Cities here, which even back then was in terms of market size, was a remarkable move. Now, I will tell you, when I walked into KNBC on the 4th of July, 1983, very young, very inexperienced, and walked into a newsroom where I was sitting next to the way our desks were situated. I had Michael Mahoney on my left. I had the late, great Edward Lewis on my right. Next to Michael was another wonderful veteran, Bob Worley. And about 4 months later, maybe the best writer I've ever been around, Bev Chapman. And I will give myself credit for this. It didn't take long for me to walk into that newsroom and know, man, I'm in way over my head here. You know, this is, I'm around some really good people. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
How
did your voice still crack at that point?
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez. And so, but literally, I'm like, okay, how am I going to do this? But I was at least smart enough to know if I kept my mouth shut and watched how these guys work, I might learn something.
Did you, at that point, you're sitting amongst some legends. You're just getting into KMBC. It's the early 80s. Did you think, I'm going to interview presidents?
No.
I mean,
of course not. No.
So you sit down.
No.
Who was interviewing President Obama the coolest interview you've ever done? Because it wouldn't
define
matter to,
cool.
It wouldn't matter to me if it was President Bush
fine,
or
no.
President Clinton or President
it
Reagan.
Was,
it's the honestly, president of the United States.
Honestly, it was part of the job. It was part of the job.
What a pro.
It was part of, no, it really was. No.
Yeah.
And you know, the beauty of an interview like that at that point in my career, yeah, it's the president, but it's not intimidating.
Okay. When was the first time remember when you were intimidated by an interview? Like I've sat down. For me, I interviewed Richard Petty.
Okay.
The great NASCAR Hall of Famer. And I'm like, oh man, do not. And I was 23 or something like that. I had no idea what I was doing.
Back in the mid to late 90s, when in Kansas City on cable television, the Klan had a presence. Okay.
Okay.
My first Emmy in investigative reporting was for a piece that aired on KMBC. The then head of security for the local chapter of the Klan in Kansas City was an informant to the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. Okay.
Okay. All right.
And so right. I had gotten together with this guy, obviously all very secret, and he was still an undercover informant for probably the better part of a year, and we would meet once a month at an undisclosed bar out of the way because he was obviously afraid that he might, the last thing he wanted to be was seen with me in a bar.
Yeah.
For all the obvious reasons. And so when he finally came out, having worked this story for a year, I was able to give Kansas Cityans an idea of what the feds knew about these guys, and it was a lot. But when this guy finally came out, he came out with not just information and interviews, but video, and it was an illustration of just how dangerous these guys were at the time. And so part of the work on that story was, okay, well, let's go talk to the Klan, okay? And so the local head at that time lived up in Platte City. And so we went to his house and did the interview. That was an intimidating interview. Just because of what we knew internally. We hadn't gone on the air yet, but just of what we knew internally of what these guys were about. So so that was intimidating. Interviewing the President of the United States is a logistical thing, but it's not, as I say, the beauty of it doing President Obama at the time in my career, it wasn't intimidating at all. Now, I remember the photographer I was working with at the time on that story, who's no longer with us, great guy, but it was an afternoon interview, and there were some off the record things that we did, and they kind of took us on a tour of the White House, which again is all nice and stuff, but there was this moment where I could sense the photographer was getting a little too, you know, wrapped up in the tour. And I kind of had to say,
you're working.
Hey, we're not here for the tour.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep our eye. We're not here for the tour. So, I wouldn't say that was intimidating at all. Now, you know, the story of my wife, Dana wanted me to ask the president either before, during, or after the interview. She wanted an autograph. And I told her, no.
No, you don't do that.
No.
You do
not. We're not doing that.
No, you don't.
We're not. She said, oh, come on. I said, no. She even put like a note in my luggage that I found when I got to the hotel in D.C. the night before, this note that she wanted me to hand to the president. I said, no. She didn't talk to me for about a month and a half.
Wow.
She was not happy.
Silent Dana for a month.
And I got it. I did get her a signed photograph of the president that arrived at, you know, like 2 months later.
Right.
That I'm sure was the auto pen.
But hey, you don't tell her that.
It said, you know, hi, Dana. Sincerely, Barack Obama. Which, again, you know, coming 2 months later, it's the auto pen. You know there's a lot of sincerity there.
Absolutely. Absolutely there is. Is there anybody out there that you still want to get on your resume of who you have interviewed? I mean, the current president, some other world leader, Patrick Mahomes. Like, is there still somebody you want to get that is a fish that you're trying to achieve?
I'd have to think about that for a minute. Okay. You know, somebody who hasn't been done. And in this world of media, that's hard to find.
It is. It definitely is. Chris Katz from Channel 9 is in studio. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Coming up, how to throw Kansas City's anchorman off of his game when he's just trying to do a live hit in front of a basketball game. That's next. Midday with Jamie and Wicket, 98.1 KMBZ. Chris Katz from Channel 9 filling in for Jamie Monticelli today.
I'm just Mr. Dana Wright.
Okay. Mr.
That's
Dana
all I am.
Wright
I am
here.
Just Mr. Dana Wright. I can't tell you how many times I'll be out and, great to meet you. But I've grown up watching you on Channel 9.
But
is Dana here?
You know what? I get that too. And I'm not related to her in any way. You know, my wife and I will be out having dinner or something, and somebody walk up, hey
you're on BZ. Yeah.
I listen,
you're on 91.
Yeah. I listen to you guys all day. Yeah. Where's Dana?
Where's Dana?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
I'm not in Leawood.
I get that a lot.
I understand. Hey, Jason, is the text line broken?
It seems to be today.
I feel like the text line is broken.
I don't have access to the text line. Is that a good thing or bad?
I'm getting love having Chris on. You guys are doing great. Great show.
Going back and forth with people from the Quad Cities.
People are wondering. Cool. My family is from the Quad Cities. We moved to Kansas City. We saw you in the local news. My parents were excited because they had watched your dad there for so long. God bless Chris and his family.
Thank you.
You're not one a-hole libtard. Get off the air. You suck. Nothing. Are you sure the text line's working?
Not yet. Get a hot take off, Dad.
Well, maybe
this will change.
Yeah, it's early.
We got 38 minutes left. I haven't gotten one hot take in about an hour and 20. I don't know if I'm getting one yet on the way out of here. We've been playing a little bit of audio from your past, and I would like to play another.
Which is really scary, though. Okay.
I want you to explain this live shot where you had to kind of stop halfway through.
Laurie, this is anything but a typical Wednesday night here on the KU campus. Not far away at the Allen Fieldhouse, an exhibition basketball game between the KU Jayhawks and the Soviet Union. Here at the KU Student Union, a speaking engagement by the Vice President of Nicaragua, Sergio Ramirez. Ramirez is in Lawrence tonight at a time when the United States is making major... Excuse me.
What happened right there at the... Because I can hear your pace kind of start to slow a little bit, and then you had to pause. What happened there?
10 o'clock live shot in front of the Student Union at KU. And a young co-ed came up and kissed me.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
Right on the lips.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So is it just you and the cameraman the entire time and
pretty
then that?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. And
that's how you met Dana.
No, that wasn't how okay. I, no, no. No, and not to get off the subject, Dana will, you know, Dana and I worked opposite each other, anchored opposite each other for years. And then when I went to mornings, they moved her to mornings at 5 and then, you know, she got smart and got into radio. But
some people would say you were the smart one that got into television.
I don't know about that. I got kissed on the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the
funny thing about that story was years later, when we were downtown at the Lyric, it was not unusual for us to as a newsroom gather at a legendary establishment called the Coif at 1010 Broadway. Joe, Newt, Animal, Anthony, all the Benigno family love them to death.
Mm-hmm.
They're that and and an absolutely marvelous place to this day. We were in the Quaff one night after a broadcast, and a young woman came up to me out of the blue and said, "Do you remember that one night at KU where you got kissed by a woman on the air?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "That was me." And I said, "No."
Wow.
And I said, my next question was, so I said, how much did you win on the bet? And she said, $20.
Did she really? That's craziness. That's wild that so many years later.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway.
I know that Dana has had some very strong thoughts about when you're doing a live shot and someone comes up and kisses you on the air. How have you watched that change in your time in the industry? Because for us, I mean, I feel like when it's a guy and a woman comes up to you, you're like, ah, ha, 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 it's funny. But when a guy does something to a female reporter live on the air, I feel like it goes a different direction.
I have no. Not good.
Not, yeah.
No. I'm not a fan.
I don't understand why people feel like they can do it regardless of how much they've had to drink because their team won a football game.
Yeah. Don't get me started.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, not a fan.
When she has told those stories on the air, I have also sat and kind of cringed myself.
Yeah.
Because it's unbelievable.
You don't want to get me started on that.
Okay, we'll stay away from that.
No.
For anybody who is thinking about getting into this industry, now you said Dana made the right move to get to go into radio. Mm-hmm. I think you made the right move to go into television. But how?
Well, let the record reflect. I mean, Dana has more Emmys than I do. She has more Murrow Awards than I do. She has a Casey. I don't have a Casey. you know, she was.
Why did she get into radio?
She was pretty damn good at what she did.
Why'd she leave?
She was really damn good at what she did in TV. Hours. I think mornings were killing her. And I think, you know, at the time, I think the station that she was at was kind of moving in a different direction. And I think everybody kind of saw the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they had been talking to her here for a while. And so, you know, she kind of made that leap. And I think it's been a terrific move.
What was that first conversation like from your end when she said, "I'm going to work with this guy named Scott on the radio"?
I thought it would work.
Okay.
I really did. No, I had, I,
because the show was a little different when it was Shannon and Parks.
Sure it was. But I thought it would, I thought they would be terrific. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I think they had chemistry from the beginning, which I thought was really rare. And for whatever reason, some of those reasons I think I know, but they have caught lightning in a bottle. And man, ride this train as long as it takes you. No, they're really good at what they do. I know in the beginning, my wife had tremendous anxiety about whether she made the right move or not. I know she had tremendous anxiety over how this was going to work. But I've seen the numbers, man.
They're doing very well.
Yeah.
We like to call them the main event. Chris Katz from Channel 9 is in studio. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. You can ask Chris Katz anything. Coming up at 11:45, you can fire away on the text line then. We still have to talk about the tornado. And we'll have you and your son talk about May 4th, 2003. First, though, let's go to Dan Weinbaum in the KMBZ newsroom. Another half hour or so with Channel 9's Chris Katz in studio, Kansas City's anchorman. A lot of people are already sending in questions. You can ask Chris anything coming up at 11:45. So text him in, 22980. You're getting a lot. getting a lot of questions already. So keep them coming in, 22980. Take me back to May 4th, 2003, if you would, please. and that was obviously a day where Mother Nature wreaked havoc on your lives.
May 4th, 2003. The day it was an F4 tornado by the time it reached our neighborhood in the Carriage Hill Estates area of Kansas City North. Long story short, we lost a house that day. I almost lost a family. You know, the thing about that whole experience is, and we never had to deal with a funeral that day. Nobody in our neighborhood had to deal with one, and how that happened, how you walk away from an F4, which the Fujita scale at the time, that storm packed winds between 205 and 250 miles an hour, and how we walked away from an F4. Man, if you don't believe in God, then
well,
you know,
moments before it hits.
But let me finish this thought real quick. Since then, I've covered tornadoes since then. I was in Joplin that night, Oak Grove, was in Jefferson City the next day, not all that long ago. And, you know, the one thing that I wish someone had told me that night in our tornado, was I wish somebody would have told me it's going to be okay. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. It's not going to be a month from now, but it's going to be okay. And in the tornadoes that I have covered since then, I have always made it a point with the people who have been nice enough and gracious enough to share their stories with us. I've always made it a point to later put my arm around them and say, it's going to be okay. I know what you're going through. I've been there. I know exactly what you're thinking. I know. It's going to be okay. It's going to take some time, and you're going to need to catch your breath and kind of sit down and figure out a plan, but it's going to be okay. And it was something. Anyway, go ahead.
No, it's quite all right. I apologize for interrupting.
Not at all. Your show.
Not today. the night of, what time did the
late in the day, like five-ish.
So when you started to get word that this system was coming your way,
see,
do you get, and what do you do in the moments leading up to it?
We were in the middle of a birthday party for my father-in-law and me, and we had 12 people in our house when it hit, and wow. I had these inch thick, and Jason, you know, jump in. I mean, you were there. I mean, I'm not. We had these inch-thick butterfly pork chops that were about to go on the grill. And we had been watching this tornado all day long on TV. We'd seen Johnny up in the chopper. We were watching Channel 9 all day long. We were watching.
Sirens were going off.
Sirens were going off. You know, and that's the thing. You know, tornado sirens were going off. And I was one of those people before May 4th, 2003, who never thought in a million years it could happen to me.
I don't understand you
people. I was one of those people.
Yep.
And not anymore, but I was one of those people. And so you just never think it's going to happen to you. And so we were short on steak knives. So I went with my father-in-law. So Daryl and I went to his house, which at the time was about 3 blocks away in the older part of Carriage Hill Estates on the Gladstone side. And so so I'll never forget. I'm in my SUV. He's trying to lock the door. Wind, rain, and I'll never forget as long as I live. He's trying to lock the front door. I'm in the truck. This is on Northeast 63rd Street on the Gladstone side. And I'll never forget turning to my left, which was west, and seeing literally a half a block away this charcoal gray wall. And the base of our tornado was significant, okay? It wasn't this sort of well-defined funnel that you see on TV, okay? The base of this thing was big. And I'll never forget the feeling, and it's hard to explain, but I just had this feeling like, oh my God, it's here. There it is. And so I looked at Daryl, he looked at me, and so we went into the basement of his house, and it hit literally within seconds. And his house took a hit, but not bad, okay? It
walls,
lasted.
Roof, just.
No, the structure was still intact.
Okay.
Okay. A lot of damage outside, but the structure was still intact. So we come up from the basement, and it, you know, and I go back and forth in my head about how long it lasted. But so we come up from the basement, and all of the mature trees in the street were down in the street, and there was a little bit of damage here and there, you know, roof damage, windows, trees were down. It was a mess, but I'm looking around, saying to myself, okay, not bad. This could have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried calling home, and all of the cell towers were down. But I didn't think much of it because in my view of the world at that moment, there's damage, but it's not bad. Okay? I've seen worse. So I called into the station, and we were in the middle of continuous coverage at the time, and was talking with Jeremy Hubbard and Maria Antonio. And Jeremy, J-Hubs, who doing great work in Denver, and Maria's retired, living the life. And I remember telling them it just hit here. And so I still don't know what I have no idea that I don't have a house anymore.
Gosh.
And so after several minutes of trying to call home, and I'd done a couple of phoners on the air, one of the people at our house came literally running up the street, all out of breath, and this is all he said. Everybody's okay, but your house is gone.
It was rough. It was.
Where were you, Jason?
We were in the basement. So basically, Daryl's wife, Val, she went out to the front porch and was about ready to smoke a cigarette. Sees the Twister about, you know, 2.5-3 blocks away. Says, "All right, we got to hunker down. We got to get down." And so, at that point, you know, you're kind of in that fight or flight where, you know, you're kind of thinking about, all right, you know, how do I
get through
this?
He's just a kid.
Yeah, I was 10 years old. So we all go down to the basement, and then it hit. And then the first thing I remember.
How long were you in the basement?
Oh, probably about a minute, 30 minutes, probably 2 minutes. I mean, it was very quick, very loud. The last thing I remember seeing was, we were on the opposite side. We had a long rectangular window on the far end of the basement.
Okay.
Walkout basement. And so the last thing I remember seeing was the furnace from the air conditioning unit next door. Of the next door neighbors literally lift up off the ground, and ooh, the Twister rotated it into and smashed that window.
Oh my gosh.
And then after that, I kind of hunkered down. And so once the kind of the dust settled, and one of the big things, always wear shoes in tornado situations.
I've heard that. Busby told me that the last time.
Exactly.
I watched
Nine. We did not do that. So adults kind of went upstairs and tried to grab as, you know, many possible shoes to fit everybody as, you know, as we could. But yeah, it just, you know, the devastation was, it was pretty significant.
Anybody who thinks that when you hear a television meteorologist say, put a bike helmet on your kids. And I know, people have kind of poo-pooed that. When an F4 tornado is sending the air conditioning unit from your next door neighbor through the window of your walkout basement as your family is huddled for their lives, that's actually a pretty good idea.
Yeah, it is. You know? So you hustle back to home.
Yeah.
And we only have about a minute and a half here. So
I knew everybody was okay.
Okay.
But my wife then did not, she was pretty sure that her father and her husband were gone. Because, our neighborhood was stepped on pretty good. And as I say, we never had to deal with a funeral. And that was the Twister hit on May 4th, 2003. We got back into our rebuilt house the week before Thanksgiving of 2003. And that was, to this day, the best Thanksgiving ever.
I bet. So when Katie Horner or Nick Bender or Brian Busby tell you...
Like I say, take it from somebody who's been there.
Exactly.
That's actually pretty good advice.
Best part of the meal, though, those pork chops and the birthday cake were totally saved.
Untouched.
Like, not even touched.
Of course!
Had some grass stains on them, but like,
actually,
that was it.
The pork chops, actually, we got demolition within a couple of weeks after and they actually went down with the rest of the structure.
Oh, that's a crazy ending. Oh, my goodness. Fantastic. I mean, I appreciate all the stories that you have told in our hour and 45 minutes. People have sent in a ton of questions they want to ask you.
All right.
Fire away on the text line, 22980. If you've ever wanted to ask Chris Katz anything, we will do Ask Chris Katz Anything coming up on the other side. Text in right now, 22980.
Now it's time to ask Jamie and Wicked Anything.
This is pathetic.
Yeah, I know. You're a feminist, and I think that's adorable. But this is grown-up time, and I'm the man.
Text any questions to 22980.
This is Midday with Jamie and Wicked on 98.1 KMBZ.
All right, we got 9.5 minutes.
All right.
Chris Katz is in studio. Ask Chris Katz Anything, 22980. This one has come in a lot. How did you and Dana meet?
Well, we knew each other, obviously, professionally. She would tell you that She didn't much like me. She thought I was a jerk. Apparently, I didn't pay much attention to her on the street.
So when you would cover the same story, you would try to butt out of the way.
No, I never felt like I did.
Okay,
but I mean, professionally,
And that's how you guys got together.
Yeah,
gotcha. So. Do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
No.
Okay. Next question. This one you and I both get. Where is Dana?
I don't know. Home, I presume, but I'm unsure.
Most tragic story you've ever covered or reported on?
Boy, the Joplin tornado is, if it isn't at the top of the list, it's pretty darn close.
Hyatt?
I wasn't here for the Hyatt.
That's right. It was before you.
Yeah.
It was Michael Mahoney was there for
Mike,
that.
Yeah. Mike was, gotcha. I missed that. I missed that by about a year.
What does the term I love lamb mean to you?
I love lamp.
Lamp.
Is it lamp?
Someone said lamb on the text
they
line.
They're trying to do a pun off of Anchorman.
The movie, I guess.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't often get hosed on the text line, but I did. Let's see. Chris, you're my favorite local journalist.
Thank you.
Who was yours?
Probably my dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha. Do you put lettuce on nachos?
No.
Why not?
See, I listen to the show, so I know where this is coming from.
I
know where this is coming from.
That came from the text line,
Not my thing, yeah.
Do you have a dream interview? Living or dead? We'll play that game for a moment. Is there someone you wish you could have interviewed before they passed or before your time?
Don't know. I'd have to think about that.
What is your favorite Dana moment?
Oh, God, there are so many.
Do we have 2 more hours?
Yeah, do we have 2 more hours? Yeah.
It might be coming up at 2:05.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Picking one would be, tough.
If you were to work in radio and not television, who would you want as your co-host?
Probably my wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Great. Thanks.
Well, wine mom's a little offended by that. Okay.
Well, Dan's a very close second.
Okay. All right. I'll take it. Thank
you. I'm back in. Okay, good.
Keep coming in on the text line, 22980. This is not a question, just a statement. Mr. Ketz, what I love about you is that you give the news but do not reveal your political leaning. When that happens, I will no longer watch.
Okay. Well, that's how this works. You know, people get to make that call day in, day out. And listen, if there's one thing I've learned about television, there is something about the lens of a camera and maybe the microphone in radio mm-hmm. that can spot and reveal a phony like that.
Yeah.
And so, but again, that's how this works. People get to make that call, whether they like us or not. They get to make that call. That's how this works. And if you're in this business and you can't take that kind of criticism, maybe you ought to find something else to do.
From the text line, 22980, who is your favorite child?
Who is my favorite child?
You have to pick.
I really don't have one.
Like, where does, Jason rank?
They're all number one.
I'm unit two.
Well, just in order. That's only just because you came after your brother. That's all.
Do you have rivalries with other people in the market? Other anchors?
You know, some of my best friends in the business are guys across the street.
Mm-hmm.
So no, I mean, do we want to beat them every single night? Sure, we do. Absolutely, just as they want to beat us. But we all fight the same battles.
What meds do you take to mitigate the level of crazy coming from Dana? That's from 6404 on the text line.
You know, an occasional ibuprofen.
Yeah. Xanax and some Cabernet.
No.
Whiskey.
No.
Have you ever considered leaving Kansas City for another market?
Yes. This is home.
This is home?
I've been at KNBC 36 years. I work for the Hearst Corporation. I work for a tremendous company. I work for great people. I've never had and they've been awfully good to me. I've never had a burning desire to want to jump.
Okay.
Was a lot of that because of Papo?
No, it was just, it was, this has just really worked out for me, I think.
Have other markets bigger than Kansas City come calling?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Because I know there have been, I've seen them even in my short time here, leave Kansas City to go to New York, for example.
This is home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Keep them coming in, 22980. How much did you pay for your news anchor hair soap?
That was a freebie at an Emmy gala. Okay, I did not. There was no money was exchanged. That was a freebie. It has been used and it's gone, and I haven't replaced it.
So. Would you like to write a book one day?
Well, that seems like work to me.
You need a ghostwriter. Is what you need. You do. You need a ghostwriter.
I don't know that I don't know that I have anything to say.
Oh,
if you're going to write a book, you got to have something to say. I don't know that anybody would care that I would what I would have to say.
I think the last hour and 45 minutes prove you could write a book. You could do 20 chapters, 20 stories.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
That would be an easy one. From the text line 22980. Describe being a grandfather in five words or less.
That's the best.
Five.
Oh man, it's everybody said it would be life changing, and they were right. It's pretty cool.
Do you have any advice for a father of a 10-month-old with twins coming next month?
You know what? Enjoy the ride because it goes fast. It really does. And it's best job in the world. Best job in the world, no doubt about it.
Do you miss the hungry hobo from the Quad Cities? These are the hard-hitting questions Kansas City is asking you, Chris. This is it.
Yes, the answer to that question, yes.
Kurt wants to know if you keep in touch with Lori Everett.
You know, on Facebook, yeah. She's doing great, by the way. Wonderful. One of our was Larry Moore's co-anchor for many, many years. Lori and I worked together at 9, and just a tremendous human being, and she was really good at what she did, and love her and Pat to death.
When you're not watching Channel 9, do you have a local news that you like?
No. No. That's easy. No.
Just chopped liver over here, I guess.
Jeez, no.
Wine bomb's still right there. Like
no, it's... No.
Hey, thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I know you got to get to work later on today. Taking 2 hours out. This has been really, really fun for me to sit here, learn, and listen. I hope our listeners appreciated it. Thank you again for coming in.
Great fun. Thank you.
And have yourself a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Right back at you.
Thank you very much.
Right.
Kansas City's Anchorman, Channel 9's Chris Ketz in studio for the last 2 hours. We will podcast all 2 hours if you missed any of it. We covered a lot of different stuff after Chris's time here in Kansas City. Oh, this next one came in. How much longer do you want to work for Channel 9?
Here's my problem. I've been there 36 years, and it is still a hell of a lot of fun to go to work.
Okay. Fair enough.
It really is.
Fair enough.
Like I say, I work for great people, a great company, great operation. And I'm a pretty happy camper.
Yeah, I think you can make another 14 years.
If you couldn't tell.
You want to do 14 more years? Weinbaum wants to know.
I still feel pretty good. I don't know. You know, as long as I'll have me.
Chris Ketz from Channel 9 here on 98.1 KMBZ. He is off to go do the news to get you ready for later on today. I'll be around for another 2 more hours. Dana and Parks coming your way at 2 o'clock. Dana will have full rebuttal for everything that we have talked about over the last 2 hours. With that, we go to the newsroom. Here's Dan Weinbaum.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.